I really admire my niece, Nicolina. She's been making public art in New York City now for more than 10 years. Her infectious enthusiasm's been getting people, young and old, all around the world to add color and a little heart into their neighborhoods. Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, Nicolina shares her passion for public art with us. I expect she just might brighten up your world, too. And today we'll also meet Moses Gates. He's an urban planner and licensed tour guide in New York City. But after hours, Moses explores the sides of cities that don't make it into the guidebooks, like subway tunnels, abandoned buildings, the tops of suspension bridges, and even the catacombs and sewer mains under Paris and Rome. A little later in the hour, Moses reveals the hidden worlds that urban explorers occupy. Let's start by checking in with listeners at 877-333-7425. People looking for a little help getting started with their travel plans. Kristen's calling in from Dublin, Ohio. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, how are you, Rick?
Doing good. We got any travel plans cooking?
I'm thinking of Europe next summer, and I'm not quite sure where I want to go.
What are you thinking about?
Like the Russia, Tallinn, around that area, or southern Italy. I've been to Rome before, but not been much south of Rome. Or Paris that I've been to, but haven't seen everything in Paris, and or I want to see some of the things that I've seen again.
You're talking about summertime or off-season?
I'm flexible, but if I went like the St. Petersburg, I would go probably July.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you go up to the Baltic area up in the north of Europe, you'd want to go in the middle of summer if you could. That's when it's most lively and the days are long.
Yeah, and if I were going to go to Italy, I'd probably go May, late September, early October, something like that, where it'd be a little cooler.
And those are the best times to go there, yeah. St. Petersburg, you mentioned in Russia, is very complicated, not very complicated, but you got to get a visa, and it costs you a couple $100s, and you have to go through a lot of hoops. On the other hand, Tallinn, which is just a two-hour boat ride from Helsinki, is quite easy to visit, the capital of Estonia. So pairing Helsinki and Tallinn is a great idea. You could put that in with Stockholm, and you got yourself quite a beautiful 10 days in that part of Europe. You could go back to Paris for the rest of your life, and there's plenty of side trips from Paris that would be exciting. I think a lot of people underestimate how long you could spend in the Chateau country, just a couple hours south of Paris. And then once you've been to Rome, you know that Italy gets more intense and more exciting as you head farther south. And if you like Italy as far south as Rome, you might want to go down to Naples. It's funny, when I'm planning tour itineraries and so on, we can spend more nights in one spot just outside of Naples in Sorrento than almost any other place, because from Sorrento, you could spend 5 nights in Sorrento and on 4 successive days do 4 completely different things. You could explore in Naples, you could go out to Capri, you could do the Amalfi Coast with the ancient Greek site at Paestum, and you could also just enjoy going up to Pompeii and Mount Vesuvius. So you have plenty of options.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I think you're right. You can always grab a couple days in Paris.
You know, I like to leave Paris for a winter getaway. I just think a one-week winter break in Paris makes so much sense. You get inexpensive flights, you settle into one nice hotel, and just pretend you live there.
That definitely sounds like a plan.
That's a plan. You can focus your preparation, read books on it. There's all sorts of great books that give you an intimate appreciation of Paris that the typical sightseer doesn't take advantage of. So I'd highly recommend that. Hey, well, have a good time on your trip or in your travel planning, Kristen.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Kathy's calling in from Oxford, Ohio. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, Rick. I'm so excited to be on your show.
Oh, good. Well, it's nice to have you on. And what are you thinking about in the way of traveling?
Well, I'm really excited to ask you this question because I've been planning this trip for a year or two, and we want to go from Cornwall to the Highlands. And I wanted to ask you if that's too much in one itinerary, or do you think it can be done?
Well, it can be done. I mean, that's just one-hour flight if you wanted to fly it. But the question is, how much time do you have?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And what you're talking about is going from the south of England to the north of Scotland, right?
Right. I thought Brit Rail passes might work.
Yeah. I think Brit Rail Pass is a great idea for a tour that stretches that far, because you can just hop on and hop off where you like. And from London, in a couple of hours, you're down to Cornwall. So you can do that. If you have 2 weeks in England, what I would do is remember that London is a pretty brutal place to get over jet lag. I would fly into London, but then head over to Bath. Bath is a very genteel town, very charming place, and get your bearings in Bath. And then from there, you could take a train going south and check out the Cornwall of your dreams. And then you'd work your way sort of up north. You'd probably want to go, you know, Bath and the Cotswold villages and York are big stops. you could visit Edinburgh, which is one of the most exciting cities in all of Europe. And from Edinburgh, you would want to explore further north. That's where your transportation gets a little more sparse, and you might consider renting a car up there or even taking a tour of some sort for the Highlands of Scotland, because a very sparse population, but also very, you know, richly rewarding as far as staying in B&Bs and going to the little pubs and meeting people that just want to sit down and share a beer with you and tell stories.
Yeah, that's great. We're kind of shying away from renting a car. We're not too comfortable driving on the wrong side of the road.
Well,
but,
you know, in Scotland, you can go where you can't go by train, you can go by bus. And as a matter of fact, they've got such an ethic for public transportation that if there's not enough people to even merit a bus ride, you can literally ride with the postman for the cost of a bus ticket. So you can get to the most remote places in Scotland if you just have a little patience by either train or bus or postman. So, but you'll want to do some studying because if you have 2 weeks, you know, there's 2 months worth of stuff to see and you'll have to make some hard choices. But
I already kind of know where I want to go according to books I've read.
Well, that's
but
good.
But I also thought I want to stay in bed and breakfast so as to get to know the people better and learn about the people.
I absolutely love staying in B&Bs in Britain. The people who run B&Bs generally really do it because they enjoy meeting people. So you've got friends in every town that you stay in, and that's a very charming and real way to experience. I always say a bed and breakfast gives you double the cultural intimacy for half the price of a hotel. And these days, they're very comfortable, and they're very well organized, and there's plenty of sources where you can find the best values on B&Bs.
Well, I'll check that out for sure.
And all of them have email, so you can just email back and forth and make sure you like the price, and they've got a room for you. And then you know you got the nights committed, and then you can fill in the blanks each day with all sorts of travel fun.
All right, sounds great.
Good luck in your adventure.
Thanks, we're looking forward to it.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye now. 877-333-RICK, that's our phone number. radio@ricksteves.com is the email address, as we check in with your travel plans right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Molly on Camino Island in Washington State has a concern. She says, we're four seniors going to London, and we usually use the tube and the bus system. But the new Oyster card has us totally confused, and we think maybe it's not available for Americans. Can they legally use this card during their stay? Well, Molly, the Oyster system in London's vast and wonderful subway system is very confusing to tourists, but once you kind of bite the bullet and figure it out, it's the way to go around if you're going to be staying there for a while and on a budget. You can still buy tickets one at a time as you go, but the tickets have jumped way up in price, and the only economical way to use the subway system in London these days is with the Oyster card. It's available to locals as well as tourists. It doesn't matter. You just buy it. It costs you £3, and this becomes then your prepaid rechargeable card so that you can use the tube system and the buses. For more information, check out oystercard.com, where you pay for a prepaid and rechargeable card that you then get discounted rides because you have that card. And Shauna is calling in from Boca Raton, Florida. Hi, Shauna.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah. What are you thinking about?
My husband and I are moving to London in January next year, and we're going to be traveling throughout Europe for 4 weeks. We pretty much know where we want to go in Edinburgh, in Barcelona, but for Paris and Italy is where we're struggling. We want to know if you know of anywhere in Paris that's not too popular, you know, other than the tourist sites. And we want to travel in Italy for 2 weeks and then ending that trip in Sicily. Do you have any ideas?
So you're going to London, is that right?
Yes.
And how much time do you have?
Roughly 6 weeks.
6 weeks. And your priorities are Edinburgh, Barcelona, Paris, and Italy?
Correct.
Okay. Well, in Edinburgh, it's going to be like London. It's going to be cold and gray and drizzly. So you just got to, you know, wear good clothes and you don't let the weather keep you in. But Edinburgh is a wonderful city. It's a city that is great peak season or off season. It's great, you know, rain or shine. Barcelona, you're going to have good weather in the winter, most likely. Paris is a thriving cultural center any time of year. And where do you want to go in Italy?
Well, my husband's family, they live in Sicily. But we want to enter into Rome and then travel for 2 weeks. Ending in Sicily. We don't want to go too far north, but we're not sure how to route that trip down to Sicily. Should we go by train? Should we take the ferry?
I took the ferry from Naples down to Palermo, and I really enjoyed it. And I arrived in Palermo, and then I spent a couple of days in Palermo, and then I picked up a car, and I drove around in my car. And you might want to finish your whole experience that way. Then from Palermo, you could turn in your car, and you could fly back to London.
Okay.
Remember, you can fly point-to-point in Europe for about $100, even less if you know how to use the budget airlines. But just standard point-to-point tickets on the major carriers, figure $100 per leg of your journey. You can book that online, or you can book it through a travel agent. But you could fly from London to Edinburgh. You could fly from Edinburgh to Barcelona, Barcelona to Paris, and Paris to Rome. And then you could explore Rome, take that boat to Palermo, pick up a rental car for a week and do Sicily, and then fly back to London. And that would cover everything you're looking for. And in Edinburgh, Barcelona, Paris, and Rome, those are all great cities if you just want to settle in for 4 or 5 days. You could do that in any place and feel really good. You know, in the summer and the winter, big cities are just fine. In Sicily, that's where you're going to be thankful that you're traveling off-season because it's less crowded and it's not going to be so darn hot. And with the mobility a car gives you in Sicily, you can stay in agriturismos, which are wonderful rustic farmhouses that where you can enjoy great home cooking in Sicily. You can tour incredible Greek antiquities. In Sicily, you just really feel a proud culture that's rustic and a little bit offbeat. It's a wonderful complement to what people enjoy when they go to the rest of Italy.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it. We're really excited.
I'm excited about it, too. It sounds absolutely great. Have a fun time.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye
now.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I want you to meet a couple of unconventional travelers next. In a bit, Moses Gates unveils the underground world of urban explorers. And next, the artist simply known as Nicolina, who just happens to be my niece, lights a spark for taking part in public art projects all over the world. By the way, happy 8th anniversary to our show. It's Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.